Hello, Pastor Brandon here with our readings for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, from our reading plan, Seek Him, as we continue as a family of family to seek Him through His Word. Today's readings come from Psalm 26, Genesis 46, 1 through 27, and Matthew 16, 5 through 20. We'll be starting with Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, in whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord. Genesis 46, 1 through 27. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again. And Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. Jacob and all of his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. Now these are the names of the descendants of Israel who came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, Shual, the son of the Canaanite woman, the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, the sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar, Tula, Puva, Yob, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Shered, Elon, and Jahleel. These are the sons of Leah, who she bore to Jacob in Paddan Aram, together with his daughter Dinah, altogether his sons and his daughters, number 33. The sons of Gad, Ziphion, Haggai, Shuni, Esbon, Irar, Aradi, and Areli. The sons of Asher, Amna, Ishva, Ishbi, Bariah, with Sarah, their sister, and the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpha, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin, and to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, the priest of On, bore to him. And the sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppin, Humpin, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan, Hushim. The sons of Naphtali, Jahzil, Guni, Jezer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter. And these are the sons of Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons belonging to Jacob who came to Egypt, who were his own descendants, not including Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, were 2. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. Matthew 16. 5-20. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord in our readings from February 18th, 2020. I would like us to dive into our Matthew passage today. Because there is just so much in this passage. In particular, when Jesus gives the disciple this warning of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is something we may not understand unless we bake a lot. Leaven, also known as yeast, is very important in bread. It's what causes a lump of dough to become a nice, fluffy piece of bread. In fact, if you have no yeast, you have unleavened bread. And unleavened bread is flat, and it's not fluffy. It's not what you would picture bread to be. It's more like a pita than it is bread. The leaven makes the bread turn into what it's supposed to be. And a small amount is sufficient to completely leaven a dough, a piece of dough, thoroughly. A small little bit of yeast changes the complete outcome of what happens to the bread when you bake it. It only takes a small amount to change the entire loaf of bread. And this is what Jesus is trying to talk about here, is just a smidgen, just a small piece, just a little bit of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees could take what God means for good, what God means to be useful, to become bad and useless, to become something that God didn't intend it to be. And this is the danger with, as we've been talking about on Sundays, misconceptions of the faith, half-truths. Once again, a half-truth is no truth at all. Even though it may sound good, even though it may look good, even though some people would look at the Pharisees and Sadducees and go, man, aren't they righteous? The truth is, they were wicked. In fact, Jesus calls them a brood of vipers. Their teachings were not good and useful in the sense of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. And we see this as Jesus then proposes a question to his disciples. Who do people say that I am? This is not by mistake that Matthew includes this right after Jesus gives us this teaching on bewaring of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because there is only one true way. There is only one truth. There is only one true life. And Jesus wants his disciples to see this. So who do people say that I am? Well, Jesus, people say you're one of the prophets. You're Elijah. You're John the Baptist. And these were all lofty titles, but they all fell short of who Jesus really was. And this is where Jesus asks the important question. Who do you say I am? Who do you, not other people, but who do you say I am? To which Peter responds, you are the Christ. Peter has the right answer. Peter rejects the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaven of other people, and accepts the one truth, the one way, the one life that Jesus comes to bring us. He accepts the truth, not a half-truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth. And this is a very dynamic moment for the disciples, because it's the moment where they accept Jesus for who he is, for who he fully is. And he is the Christ, the most holy one, sent by God. And it's upon this confession, Jesus says, it is upon this confession of him being the Christ, us declaring the truth of who he is, that Jesus says he's going to build his church. And this is an even more just blessed thing Jesus says about this: the gates of hell will not prevail. Last time I checked, gates were defensive structures. They're meant to keep things inside from getting out, also those things outside from getting in. They're defensive structures. And what Jesus tells us here is hell is on defense against his kingdom. And it is time for us to go on the attack in his kingdom, and to truly tear down the gates of hell, and to reclaim all that hell has stolen, to reclaim in the name of Jesus all hell has stolen. For the gates of hell will not prevail against this church and its solid foundation of its proclamation of who Jesus is, because we have rejected that yeast of the Pharisees. We've rejected the yeast of this world. And we stand on our solid rock, Christ alone. And because of this confession, Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. It's kind of like how the baby gates of the Zoll house will not prevail ever against Obadiah. He'll always get around them and get to whatever it is we're trying to keep him away from. This is what Jesus says it will be like for us, his church, when we stand firmly on him in our profession of faith in who he is and what it is he has come to do. He is the Christ, the Holy One, sent by God. He is the Christ. There's power in simply just being able to say that, to believe that, to trust that, to know and feel that. He is the Christ. It's time for us as a church. It's time for us to go on offense. It is time for us to do as God has ordained and empowered us as a holy priesthood to do. And that is to make Jesus the subject, understanding that he is the Christ, to reclaim all that hell has stolen by following the way of Jesus. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. 'Cause you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all love.